All right. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. I mean, now I feel like I at least got to be like a part of the send-off for that. So thank you. Come on. Awesome. Well, good morning. You guys, there's obviously a lot of you in here that I know from when I was a kid in high school, junior high and high school, and some of you are still here to this day, which is amazing. And I tell you what, there's a faithfulness in this church and a loyalty that is just so cool. And one thing I'll always say, when I grew up in this church, and even till now, you know, I left after high school, went into college, and did the whole thing. And this is such a healthy church. I've been to a lot of churches. It's a really healthy church, and it's been like that since we showed up years and years ago. And so it is an honor for me today to just be before you, to just come back. And I feel like this morning, I'm a messenger on assignment to you all. I'm a messenger on assignment. And it's an honor just to share with you. So we're going to see what God does this morning. But first of all, real quick, who's speaking to you this morning other than the son of Roger and Teresa Hutley, which is a great honor. It really is. But real quick, so I've been involved in the mortgage business for about 8 years or so. And you know, I went to Bible college, did 4 years, and just knew I needed to know the Word of God. So I went to Bible college. And I had no idea what was going to happen as far as if I was going to be in the ministry and do that vocationally, or if I was going to be in the business world or whatever. But I had a desire and a passion for both, and I thought I had to choose. And about junior year, I think, in college, as I was at Bible college, I just had a absolute revelation that I was supposed to do both, and not actually be vocational for the church and have that be like my job per se, but I was supposed to be 100% church focused in ministry and 100% business focused in ministry, and to be kingdom minded in the workplace. And so that is my heart's desire and passion, is both, and marrying the two and being fully immersed into both the church and the business world. And so that's kind of my context. I'm still in the mortgage business and been growing in that, and that's been a blast, and also difficult with interest rates. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But it's been good, and so extremely passionate about that. Right now we are overseeing generations in our church, so kids ministry up through young adults. So we don't run those specific ministries, but we help set the tone and the vision and help resource and pastor those ministries. So that's kind of what we're directly overseeing right now in our church. And then at an executive level, we're involved in just some decision making and really close with our pastors and with their vision, and just coupling alongside them and helping bring what God's given to them to fruition. So that's kind of how we're involved in our church right now. I have a huge desire and passion to grow in leadership. I believe the definition of leadership is influence. And so you are not a leader because you have a title. You're a leader because you influence somebody in your life. And that might be your kids. That might be your friendships. That might be your workplace. That might be the grocery store. It doesn't matter. You're a leader wherever you go. So you influence people wherever you go. So I'm really about leadership and growing in leadership, because I know you want to grow in how you influence people in your life. And so just some context, if you want to grow in leadership, look up John Maxwell. He's changed my life and how his view of it. And grab his books, look at his podcasts, and you will grow dramatically in leadership. And so with that being said, real quick, I want to show you a picture of my family, my wife, Annalise, and my son, Benjamin, and the love of my life. And we got a little baby in the oven due in October. And so that is, we're just excited. You know, I might get into the testimony a little bit later, but, you know, both are miracle babies, and we're just incredibly grateful. So, you know, those of you in here that maybe have struggled with having children, and that's a real thing, there's hope for you. I'm telling you right now, there's hope for you. We have two miracles, and I've seen others get pregnant when they shouldn't have, and so I'm a contender of what God's doing in the miraculous world and in healing and in bringing kids. It's his idea. It was his idea to bring kids into the world, and so we come behind that, and I just want to encourage you this morning. Now, real quick, I understand that the state that this church has been in, you've been on a hunt. You've been on a hunt for a pastor, and I actually don't know. We didn't talk yet since I've been in town. If there's what the update is on that, but I just know there hasn't been anybody found yet, and it's been a long time. So if you're here for the first time or newer, there hasn't been like a direct formal, you know, lead pastor per se of this church for how many years? 2.5 years. It's a long time. It's a long time. And what I will say is, man, the leadership team at this church is amazing. You're blessed. You're so blessed. You're so blessed. Talk about a faithfulness and a loyalty to see and lead this church through this time, which is difficult. And they've been doing it and continue to do it. And I truly have a as a messenger, I feel like I was supposed to prophetically say something to you this morning in that provision is on its way. Like, it's on its way. Provision is on its way. But you are supposed to go through this. You are supposed to go through this. You're supposed to be in this right now because you cannot go into what's ahead without what's being formed right now. That it's a specific word for you this morning, for you individually, in your family, and for this church as a whole. Some of you have despised this season. Some of you have been frustrated with this season. Some of you have questioned God in this season. The prophetic word of the Lord for you today is it's been intentional because what you are going through, the growth that is taking place, the unity that is taking place within this church has to happen for what you're going to step into. Don't despise it. Don't despise this season. Some of you need to hear that today. I'm excited for where this church is headed. I'm excited for where this church is headed. You guys, I've seen from afar, obviously been in contact with my parents, but some other people, and visiting here several times and just recognizing, like, man, my heart has just been burdened for you. Like, it's just been so, I've been with you. And I've had that word in my spirit for about a year, about a year. And this morning is just the right time to just share it with you. Don't despise this season. Embrace it and look at it as an opportunity to receive all that God has for you right now. Develop the root system for what's ahead. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. You guys receive that? You guys receive that? Come on. That's a word. That's not me. That's not me. It's not just like a good idea. It's a word. Come on. All right, we're going to get into the message today. And, you know, real quick, as I prepare for this and about to step into this, I want to raise your level of expectation. Whatever you came in with, whatever you were thinking about on the way here, whatever's going on, or whatever you encountered in worship, raise your level of expectation of what God's going to do in this word and how he's going to speak to you. Develop, right now, we're going to stir it up. Develop a hunger. Develop a thirst. God, what do you want to speak to me right now? What is it you want to speak to me? I want to receive what you have this morning. Who's this crazy big guy from Camas, Washington, coming out here today? I'm telling you, I'm on assignment. Be ready. Like, don't let this moment pass by. There's something about a posture. When you posture yourself the right way to expect something, to receive something, most likely you will get it. So posture your mind, posture your heart. Get on the edge of your seat. Lean in. Grab a notebook. Get your Bible, whatever it is. Be on the edge of your seat for what God wants to do and say to you this morning. Okay? Get rid of whatever old man came in today. And get ready to receive what God has for you. And really, if you came in this morning, my prayer and heart for you is that there would just be a burning desire to know Jesus more. A burning desire to be all in for him. This is a message about being all in for him. So do you want it, though? Do you want it? Because you could not want it, and this will just be a cute little message. You can go on your way and go on with your life. That's a settling mindset. That's a settling mindset. Is this a settling church? Is this a church that wants just the regular stuff in life and do the work, do the 9-to-5, live your life, do your thing? Is that what you guys want? Like, this is a message for those that I'm going to talk about seeds, but a seed is nothing on its own. It's nothing on its own. There's nothing but potential in a seed. Nothing but potential. And a lot of people here this morning, you might come in as just like a single seed with potential, but maybe you don't recognize it. Maybe you haven't had a touch from God in your life or whatever it is, and you're just a single seed. I'm telling you, get ready. You're going to want to be planted. You're going to want to be planted, and I'll tell you why. The title of the message is Revive Me. You can throw it up. Say this with me right now. 1, 2, 3. Revive me. Revive me. Revive me. This alludes to the fact that some of us, or a part of some of us, is dying, and it's time to be revived this morning. Revive me. Get that in your spirit this morning. You know, real quick, going back to the seed, some of you know, some of you are gardeners, some of you fully know what's going on on the earth when it comes to how things grow and how it all works, and you got a green thumb, and it's amazing. I envy you. But a seed, I mean, everything's a seed, right? Everything starts with a seed, like grass and trees and bushes and everything we see that's living, that has life, started with a seed, which in and of itself doesn't have any life. No real life there, just nothing but potential, like I said earlier. And what's amazing, if you know anything about seeds, this isn't going to be new information to maybe most of you, but a seed, once it's buried and planted, it actually has to die in order for growth to take place. In order for there to actually be life, the old seed form that was there has to die. Isn't that fascinating? So fascinating. Like there can only really, just even in our natural life on earth, there can only really be life and fruitfulness from an initial death. It's pretty wild that God set it up that way. I'm going to go into some scriptures now, and bear with me, you guys. There's a lot of scripture. I'm going to let the Word of God just preach for me for like the first quarter of this message. And so it's going to be so good, though. It's going to be so good. So here we go. We're going to go Matthew 16, 24 through 27. And I'm actually going to, I know it's on the screen, but I just love turning the page and being in the actual Word of God. If that's you, just turn in your Bible. I want to hear those pages flipping. You know what I mean? Like, just be hungry for the Word of God. Let it be in you. Let you thirst and hunger for it this morning. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Come on. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." You must deny yourself and take up your cross. Deny yourself. That sounds kind of hard. Sounds kind of difficult. Sounds like a death. It's because it is. You must deny themselves, take up your cross, lose your life. Catch the verbiage here. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Again, I'm going to go right to it, but I'm actually going to read verse 19. It's not on the screen, but it's just so good. Romans 2:20. I'm going to start with verse 19. "For through the law," this is Paul speaking to the church of Galatia, "for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." A lot of death verbiage going on here. "I have been crucified with Christ." Guys, the Word of God, the truth, what it does is it actually divides. It's a sword. The Bible talks about the Word of God being a sword. divide. So even as I'm talking, some of you are like, I don't know if I was ready for this today. Well, the word of God divides. So some of you are going to be challenged and encouraged and ready to like, yeah, God's doing something to me. And some of you are going to be offended. This can actually offend you because it's almost too much. My encouragement is just be open. Just be open. Don't be that person. Don't be the person that gets offended by this word. Be someone that wants to eat of the word of God and the truth of what he's saying. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. All right, we're going to go into Romans 6:6. I told you, lots of scripture this morning. Here we go. So good. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin. Any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part, say every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Our old self was crucified with him, died with Christ, and then we'll live with him. Count yourselves dead. The verbiage is intense. It's intense. Luke 14:26-27. Jesus is so offensive. He's so offensive in this verse. I wrestle with this one. Luke 14:26-27. And actually, I'm going to read a little more than what's on the screen. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, that's some intense verbiage. Hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Carry your cross as Jesus carried his cross. We're called to carry our cross. Some of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost, or as other translations say, count the cost? Count the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it. For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. It's talking about when we decide to live for Jesus and be a disciple of Jesus, which is only all in verbiage. Is anybody getting partial verbiage? Like a percentage of our life type verbiage in the scriptures that we're reading? It's all in verbiage. It's all in to be his disciple, that you should almost hate your own family in how much you are going after God and want to be with God. That almost seems wrong. That almost seems, what are you talking about, Jesus? I'm called to love my wife. Yeah, you are. But in comparison, it's almost like you grow up eating a really good steak all your life that your family makes or whatever, and you grow up with it, and it's really good, and it's great, and it's important, and it's essential to your nutrition and to your life. But then you go to an incredible steakhouse, just have like the best steak you could ever imagine, and you could have the opportunity to eat it every day. That's like, you look at the old one, and it's like, I have to go and get this. It's like, in comparison, I'm going after this. You don't actually hate. It's not like an actual hate. It's like a, when you actually break it down, it's more of just an extreme comparison. But it's like, how much do you actually want to go after him and be his disciple? I know that a lot of times our churches, I'm not saying this church at all, but our churches in our Western culture can preach a gospel that talks nothing about the cost of following Jesus. It talks nothing about what it really means to be all in, that there's actually a cost, that because he went and he died and he carried his cross, there is this amazing thing that we get, which is salvation by grace through faith. It's a gift. It's amazing. But he does say, count the cost. He does say, carry your cross just as I did. So he modeled it, and he's inviting us and saying, if you want all of me, you got to be all in. You got to be all in. John 12, we're going to kind of wrap up this portion here. John 12, 23 through 26 here. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. He's talking about a seed. A kernel of wheat, it's a seed. Jesus is using the same verbiage, the same metaphor. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. There's fruitfulness, there's growth. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world, again, using extreme verbiage, but it's in comparison, hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. You catching it? Catching the verbiage of what's going on here? I don't know if I can say it enough. But dying, you're dying. There's life on the other side of death. And Jesus, the Bible even talks about this, that Jesus was our seed from heaven that came to earth. And he went through the crushing and went through the ultimate act of selflessness to allow himself to be the seed that was planted in death, that he would gain in death to do the work on our behalf and take the keys of hell and come to life again and rise up on our behalf. He's calling us to join him in that. He's calling us to join him in that. I think it's been too long that we see this gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, that we've seen this gospel be preached as like, hey, you live for Jesus, you get to know Jesus, and life is just bubble gum and cotton candy and gumdrops. I don't know, whatever the candies are. Whatever. But, and that's actually not the case. Now, what we do know is that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, which is saying that we're doing it with him. We're doing this life with him. But it's this whole verbiage, like the actual truth of what the New Testament is talking about with Jesus is a life of death. It's a life of giving up your selfish desires, giving up all of your desires for what are his. It's just a complete paradigm shift. It's an upside down kingdom, you guys. And he was our seed. Our seed, Jesus, talks about being a seed that has to die. And he's our seed that died and rose, and he modeled it for us so beautifully and so powerful. So real quick, is anyone just kind of, you're burning a little bit right now? Anybody? Just kind of like, okay, Destin. Something's kind of, your heart's pounding a little bit. It's a little uncomfortable. It's a lot. God's speaking to you. There's something going on right now. Holy Spirit's nudging you, kind of getting you to come right back into alignment, getting you right back into alignment to his word, getting you right back into alignment to the truth of what he wants to do. So we're talking about dying daily for Jesus and going all in for him. So I think the biggest question I have to ask is, is how, like, Dustin, this is all really great, but how do I do this? What does this look like practically? I got five things. Let's get right into it. Number one, make him first in everything. Make him first in everything. Has anybody heard of, like, the principle of first in Scripture? Anybody? Anybody heard of that? Okay, it's great teaching. Goes through all the Scripture about this idea of first. But Exodus 22, we'll go into this real quick. This is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. What is that saying? It's saying God wants to be first. He's saying, I want to be first in your life. It's the commandments, Old Testament. I want to be first. Don't put anything else before me. Psalm 63:1, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. That word earnestly says, it actually implies early in the morning. Early in the morning. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. Earnestly I seek you. First thing I do is I seek you. We got Proverbs 3:9. Come on. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. This is used in a lot of churches where it's like you're talking about giving, doing a little giving message, you know, in church, which is so great. And this is so true. Like, this isn't the principle of first that we see in Scripture isn't like it's everything. It includes everything, which includes our finances. Which, okay, I could teach on a whole message on just this right here, but if you're somebody that struggles with tithing and that idea is just meant to allow you to put the money first in your life toward God, and he redeems the rest. It's this amazing thing. But honor the Lord with the first fruits, which means that if you get $100, it's the first 10 is his. Before you spend anything else, like the first 10 is his. So I'm telling you, it's a powerful principle that we see through all of Scripture. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And all these things it's referencing beforehand is just provision of clothing and food and all the things that we worry about in life. It talks about that, but it's saying don't worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then I'm going to get into Genesis 4:3-5. This is just a quick little story of Cain and Abel. I'm just going to share a very small portion of it. Okay. Now Abel, verse 3. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Okay, this is Adam and Eve's little kiddos. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. At some point in time, Cain brought some of the first fruits. He brought some of the fruits. He just brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So we can see the difference in what was given. Abel gave an offering that was of the first, which is like the best and the fat portion, like it was the best that he could have given. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And what that means is that Cain brought what he wanted when he wanted. I think we can approach, if we're being really introspective, especially in our Western culture, that it can be easy to wake up in the morning, and when it comes to our relationship with God, we can just bring what we want when we want to. It's like leftovers. It's just like leftovers. What we want when we want to. Is there any part of your life this morning that's functioning that way? Or are you living out of this principle of first? God, do I want to give you my first? Do I want to give you my best? So make him first in everything. Number two, abide in the vine daily. Abide in the vine daily, which is Jesus. John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. It's Jesus speaking. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, I'm reading a little further ahead, so just bear with me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He's the vine that we're supposed to be grafted into today. Jesus being the vine, I was just actually having a conversation with my grandma this morning, who's in town, grandma and my Aunt Judy and my cousin Kim, who just happened to be in town this week, so it was kind of fun to have some family. But we're talking this morning, and Jesus doesn't just provide all the things that we need, right? He doesn't just provide it. Like, it's not, he doesn't just provide peace and what we need and joy, and he doesn't just provide it. Like, he is that. He is peace. He is joy. He is the great counselor, and he is, like, it just goes on. That's who he is. So when we decide to be grafted in and in the vine, we will naturally, inherently, by osmosis, by just being in him, we will actually have those things. You don't, like, just have to pray for peace. When you're just in the vine, when you're just with him, there's, like, he is forgiveness. When you're in him, you will have a forgiving spirit. You'll have a forgiving heart toward those that have hurt you. Like, it's, you will be that and live that because you are in him. There's healing, counsel, peace, joy, perseverance. It's all in there. And the Bible talks about all these, the fruits of the Spirit, which is in Christ. Amazing. It's not found in your family. It's not found in your career. It's not found in a friendship. Like, what you need isn't actually found in any of those things. Now, those things are very important, but those things are not found. We're not finding the void in those things, which we so easily can do. It's in Jesus. It's in the vine. Number three, immerse yourself into the community of believers, which we would, even this would be like the local church. Now, the church is you and me, right? It's you and me. We are the church. The church is in the building, right? But the gathering of the saints, the gathering of believers, this is a community of believers that is so vitally important. I want to read, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I love that verbiage. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Like, this is talking about the body of Christ, which is you and me in community. Because, you guys, in the church, in the community of believers, one of the main reasons why this is so important, like, yes, we're being built up. Like, what this is talking about is unity and being built up. But it's like, there is encouragement in the body of Christ. There is iron sharpening iron, which is difficult and can be hard. But challenge in the body of Christ is so necessary, is so important. And there's accountability. Man, I'm so convinced more than ever that accountable things are healthy. That which is accountable is that which is healthy. And I'm talking about every area. So if you have areas in your life, it's just a little side note. If you have any area of your life that is weak or struggling, I bet you there's not accountability there. I bet there's somebody that has no idea what's going on in that area. And it has been my life's pursuit to be like, who can I get to be accountable to my finances with? That's even outside of my own spouse. Like, who knows what's going on, how I'm spending money to make sure that I'm doing it the right way? In my spiritual life, who do I look up to that I know that I can just get around me and just learn from them and have them be accountable to how my own spiritual walk is going, my own spiritual journey? In every area, even with work, like, who do I have at work that's keeping me accountable to working hard, to not getting lazy, and to go for all that God's called me to be, and living a life in my workplace that is actually worship to God and not just like, it's Monday. It's a rough one. I woke up, you know, it's a tough day. It's like, no. We're overcomers, and we live to the fullness, and every day that we work is worship to God. It's actually glorifying him if we look at it that way, right? So what needs to be accountable in your life? Accountable things are healthy. Number four, intentionally listen to his voice. Intentionally listen to his voice. John 10, 2 through 4. Jesus, again, is speaking, and he's speaking of himself. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. Do you know his voice this morning? Do you know his voice? Are you asking him to speak to you? Are you taking the time necessary to listen? It's not easy to do. I mean, we go through these 5 points of making him first and abiding in the vine daily and all these. What all those points do is it gets us to first say, okay, this morning, it's Monday morning. God, I need you to revive me this morning. I woke up this morning to chaos because life is just chaos. It just is. You wake up and the fresh day is just a day of chaos. But our whole Christian journey is to wake up and say, I'm throwing myself into the presence of God and I'm saying, I'm going to have him revive me and redeem the rest of the day. I'm going to have him revive me and redeem the rest of the day. So I got to get in his presence and I got to listen to his voice and see what he has to say. And I want to know his voice. I don't want to be a sheep that when he speaks, I don't know that he's speaking. I want to know that he's speaking. And he is speaking. He is, but are we listening? Are we listening? Number 5 goes right with it. Obey him. Obey him. John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Obey his teaching. It's one thing to listen. It's one thing to listen and then to hear him speak, but then it's a whole other thing to say, I trust you. I'm going to go do that. And he won't, you know, a lot of you know, you've been serving God a long time. Like he's not going to just reveal and lay it all out. Like, here's what your life's going to be for the next 5 years. It's like you get like a seed thought. You get something that just gets you to the next place that to just go. And you don't know what that's really going to be. But just, I'm telling you, walk this out and you obey. When he's speaking, it's a life of fullness. It's a life of thriving. It's a life of overcoming. I could go on and on and on. But that 5th point, obey him after you've intentionally listened to his voice and heard him. So this whole morning, we're talking about dying, which means to be surrendered. It means to be fully in submission. Every day, I want to emphasize on that, every single day, whatever he wants, you want. Whatever he wants, you want. You know, I don't have much time, do I, Dad? So whatever he wants, I want. Repeat that after me. Whatever he wants, I want. Repeat that again. Whatever he wants, I want. I've gone through a lot of seasons in my life. Quick testimony. Lots of seasons in my life where I had to let something die. Let something that I really wanted to happen die. And it took us a long time to have kids. That was a really difficult, grueling journey. And we laid that down, and God worked in us. And by the grace of God, we ended up getting pregnant, which is just amazing. And so that's so cool. But I know that also doesn't happen for everybody. You can still lay it down. It may not ever happen. It could just be. Even with my business recently, I built a company for 3 years and had all the vision and passion and desire in the world to see it grow and be all the great things that I felt called to do, that I felt like I heard from God to do. And he asked me to lay it down, like lay my own dream down, let it die, because he's got something better. But I would have no idea. I would have no idea how to do that if I wasn't walking a life of trying to make him first, listen to his voice, abide in the vine, and allow him to actually speak to me and lead me and guide me to then respond and say, if this is what you're saying, I gotta do it. And it's not easy. Like, it's not easy. Like, this life of Christianity, again, like, his yoke is easy and his burden is light when you're walking with him, but it's not easy to do this. It's hard. It is hard. But it's a lot better and a lot easier than living a life without Christ. That's hard. That's hard. Some of you know that. Some of you are like, I know what it's like to live without Jesus. And you're doing what you want, when you want, how you want. That Cain spirit. You know. You've left that life. But it's still hard to live truly, fully for Jesus, to be all in. And I believe this church is on the brink of that. I believe you personally are on the brink of that, that you have been living a life where maybe there's a percentage of your life that you've given to him, but not all. Not all. So worship team, would you mind, if you guys would come up, or even just the piano player, and we're gonna get uncomfortable real quick. If you want to just stand up with me, church. There's so much amazing fruit that's on the other side of taking a step of being uncomfortable. And so I know there's some people just, you're stirred, you're challenged. I'm stirred, I'm challenged. You guys, I don't want to live a life that is just getting by. No power. There's a real life that can be lived of being in Christ, in the vine, that is full of power and authority. And you can have and see sickness healed and disease healed, and your mind and what you're going through, struggling with whatever it is, depression, anxiety, all that stuff, that those are buzzwords today for sure. There's actually healing for that. Like, you don't have to live that way anymore. Like, anymore. And the authority of Jesus is in this place this morning. You can sense it, don't you? Like you can sense the authority of the Holy Spirit is here this morning to heal and to change the trajectory of your life. And so here's what we're going to do. I know we're getting close on time here, but Dad's going to probably close out here, but we're going to respond. So I'm going to stay. I've prepared myself to stay and pray for people for as long as needed today. And we have a prayer team here that's ready to pray for you and to believe for healing, to believe for breakthrough in your life. For you, it might be, I just want to be all in for Jesus. I've been that person that's a percentage of my life. I've been that person that's not fully all in. And Dustin, as you're talking, I want to be all in. I want to be that seed. I don't want to be just a single seed on my own. I want to be buried with Christ and allow myself to be raised up with him in new life. And so here's what we're going to do. just respond. Like, just respond. Like, don't hesitate. Your heart's pounding. You know, you don't want to respond, but you need to respond. There's something about an outward posture, an outward physical thing that can do something inwardly in you. Like, sometimes it just takes a step to kind of make your spirit leap a little bit and kind of come into alignment with that. So a physical response sometimes is so necessary for what God wants to really do in you. I would say just come over to this side. Just come on forward. If that's you, just come on. I don't care if it's one person or the whole church. Just come on over here, and someone's going to lay their hands on you and pray for you and believe for you, maybe share a word over you. But just come on forward. If you need healing in your body, you need mental clarity, you need whatever it is, you just want more Jesus. You just want a fresh touch from Jesus this morning. You're just saying, God, I want more of you. God, I want more of you. God, I want more. Come forward. Come forward. I'm going to stand over here. Team's going to be over here. Just come on forward.